Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. My message today is two of Jesus' greatest days on the face of the earth. But first, let us pray. Our Father, we pray now that you will grant divine illumination, instruction, encouragement, correction, and inspiration to every listening heart, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before I get into my text of John 4, verse 39 through 42, I want to give you the background of the text. We have Jesus meeting an adulterous woman at Jacob's well. There Jesus deals with her sin, and the woman becomes a believer. She immediately returns to her city called Sychar and tells everybody about this great man she met, whom she knows now to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And now here is our text for today. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, that is on Jesus, for the saying of the woman who testified, "He told me all things I ever did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." I want you to know today that I like this Samaritan woman. I like this Samaritan woman. Oh, do I ever like her. But I also want you to know I like this man that sat on Jacob's well. And that man who sat on Jacob's well is still alive today. His name is Jesus. Isn't it wonderful? The same man who sat on Jacob's well 2,000 years ago is still alive today. But that's true of the woman also, isn't it? This Samaritan woman is also alive today because Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that cometh to me or believeth on me shall never die." Let us see what more we can find about this Samaritan woman and the Samaritans. First of all, observe that this Samaritan woman, perhaps more than any other woman in the whole of the Gospels, demonstrates the power of God to save to the uttermost. It says in Hebrews 7, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him," that is, by Christ. What does it mean to be saved to the uttermost? Jesus is able to save to the uttermost means that he's not only able to save the worst of sinners from his or her dilemma, but he is able to make the best saints out of the worst of sinners. That is Jesus' saving power to the uttermost. This woman here was an adulterous woman. She'd had 5 husbands. Now she lived common law. She had a perverted religion. She had no morality. So this passage, my friend, presents a person who is one of the worst sinners. But Jesus took her from this awful condition to make her one of the most precious servants of God of all time. Listen, there's only one sin that Jesus cannot forgive, and that is a sin against the Holy Ghost. But God, through Christ, is able to forgive us all other sins. Take the sin of murder. Moses was a murderer, and God made him one of the greatest of all saints. Yes, he's able to save to the uttermost. David also was a murderer, and God forgave him. And Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, also was responsible for the death of many. You take these 3 men, 3 of the greatest men of the Bible, outside of Jesus, of course. Moses gave us the law. He was a murderer. David gave us the Psalms. He was a murderer. Saul of Tarsus gave us Christian doctrine, and he was a murderer. Ah, God made these men spiritual giants, and we still, after thousands of years, are influenced in our hearts by these mighty men of God. Yes, my friend, Jesus saves. Jesus can save the homosexuals. He can save the people from sexual perversion. Jesus can save from adultery. He can save us from criticism, resentment, bitterness. He saved this Samaritan woman. God says, "Give them to me. Bring the sinners to me." Or God also says, "Go to them and tell them about me." Jesus came to save to the uttermost. Dear ones, let's not give up on murderers and adulterers and fornicators and drug addicts and alcoholics and thieves and crooks. Jesus can save them all. But the problem is, many Christians do not allow God to save these people to the uttermost because they don't let their light shine for the Lord, but they hide their light under a bushel. I'll tell you, friends, Jesus was happy when he saw this Samaritan woman coming to the well. He knew already that she had had five husbands, but Jesus was happy because here was one woman that he knew needed his great gift of salvation, and he knew that she would take this gift of salvation so that she could be saved from the uttermost to the uttermost. And that's what he did. Where in the Bible can you find a convert to Christ who in a matter of hours brought a whole city to the feet of Jesus? I say in a matter of hours. And that's what I mean by being saved from the uttermost to the uttermost. Many are saved from the uttermost and not to the uttermost. They never bring forth much fruit after they're converted. This woman brought more people to Jesus in a matter of hours than most people have in a lifetime. For our text says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. As the woman came back to the city from the well, through her light, through the light of God upon her, and through her sharing, immediately conviction fell on all the people in that city of Sychar. And then what happened next? The next verse tells us. It says, so when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. The woman brought all these people of Sychar to Jesus, who still sat on Jacob's well. And dear ones, they had a Jacob's well meeting that came out of her first love to the Lord. In the revelation of the Bible, we read about this first love, don't we? The church at Ephesus had lost her first love for Jesus. First love, I want you to know, is soul-winning love. Remember those of you who found the Lord Jesus when you first experienced His power and love in your life that you wanted to tell everybody. That's first love. Let me ask you, my friend, have you lost your first love to Jesus? And I observed as a pastor of 32 years, when soul-winning love, when first love ceases, criticism, resentment, and analyzations set in. And the soul-winning love stops, and the witnessing stops. Oh, have you ever read a story anywhere in the Gospels or in the book of Acts where one woman brought a whole city to the feet of Jesus? And they, it says, besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And methinks that these 2 days that Jesus spent with the Samaritan people were possibly the most wonderful days on the face of the earth for him, because all of these people knew they were sinners. All of them were willing to confess their sins, forsake their sins. And my friend, there were no Pharisees and no scribes and Sadducees to question our precious Lord, to criticize him or to doubt him. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful time Jesus must have had in those 2 days with the Samaritans. The result being, it says in verse 41, many more believe because of his own word. No other city in Israel acknowledged this, that Jesus was the Savior of the world. Oh, they acknowledged him as the King of David, or the Son of David, or the Son of Abram, or the Messiah. But it says here, my friend, that these people knew indeed that this is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, let me summarize this whole point. This adulterous woman at Jacob's well demonstrated that he's able to save from the uttermost to the uttermost those who come to him. Point two, what we have here in this passage in John 4 is not all, but is only the beginning of something which became even bigger as time went by. Now, we want you to know that the book of Acts is a wonderful book, and here we learn that because of this woman's conversion, later on, 3 years later, a great revival in Samaria, such as is not recorded anywhere in any place in all the Gospels, on all the book of Acts, took place. The first thing in Acts, in reference to Samaria, is found by Jesus saying at his ascension, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me from both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. Jesus, my friend, never forgot Samaria. So the disciples remembered that, and in Acts 8, we have the story where the Christians were driven out of Jerusalem, and only the apostles stayed behind. And these Christians went everywhere preaching the word, and Philip, it says, went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The city of Samaria was only 6 miles from the city of Sychar, where Jesus sat on Jacob's well 3 years before. So the spiritual receptivity of Sychar spilled over to the city of Samaria. And here's what happened. It says, in this city, the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And people were saved. It says there was great joy in that city, so that the revival was of such tremendous dimensions that Jerusalem was contacted, and Peter and John, chief apostles, were sent down, and through the laying on of hands, all the people in the city of Samaria received the Holy Ghost. Yes, we have moved from a sinful, adulterous woman at Jacob's well in Samaria now to a city filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine your neighbors to the east of you, to the west of you, the north of you, the south of you, being filled with the Holy Ghost? Can you remember all the people in the shopping mall, on the trains, on the airplanes, in the schools, filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, imagine that. Where else can you find that in the book of Acts or anywhere in the history of the church? This is what it is all about, being saved from the uttermost to the uttermost. Yes, it says in black and white in this passage, and there was great joy in the city because the Holy Ghost had come upon them. Friend, we must close now with this tremendous story on the Samaritan woman. But let me just leave you with this one question, or maybe two. If you're a Christian, have you lost your first love that caused you to go and tell? And has criticism and resentment and bitterness and jealousy settled in your soul? Or do you still have this first love to somehow pray for the lost and to go after them and to witness them? Is it still with you? And the question I have for you, if you're not a Christian, my friend, don't you want to be saved from the uttermost sinfulness to the uttermost usefulness for God, that He might be able to bring you into His kingdom so that you can sit one of these days on His right side in the heavenly throne? Our Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful time we had today in considering what You can do and what You have done, and by the grace of God, we believe what You're going to do, because the best is yet ahead. We're praying for a Holy Ghost revival to spread all over the world, to take down all the barriers, to bring in people in nations as You brought them in the city of Samaria and the whole world. Because nothing is too hard for the Lord. We pray, Lord, for those who have backslidden, that You rekindle the fire in their souls. Oh God, we pray, come upon them. They are to confess their indifference and their neglects in Bible reading and in prayer and witnessing and in obedience to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We pray that we'll get all the gray areas out of our lives, that everything will be pure and white within our souls. We magnify and bless Your precious, wonderful, and holy name through Jesus Christ the Lord. Well, I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry, and goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.